Dustin has asked we turn to Psalm 113. Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh a barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. All who are able, please kneel.
Good evening. Want to bring you greetings in Jesus' name tonight. It's good to see each one here. I've been thinking today a little bit about our Sunday school lesson this morning, and I'm amazed at God's mathematics. Taking two small fish and five loaves of barley and feeding 5,000 people. And we see God's mathematics throughout Scripture. We see Gideon taking 300 men and taking on thousands and thousands of soldiers. We see the widow woman there with the two mites, and God said she's given more than all these combined. God doesn't want an abundance. He wants what we have. If we give the Lord what we have, he can bless it. This evening we're going to be talking a little bit about praise, and I kind of struggled with a title because I'm not coming up with anything new and phenomenal that you haven't heard before about praise. It's just some reminders, because I need to be reminded many times. We're all forgetful, I think. So I guess the title would be, if I had to come up with one, some reminders of praise, or reminders about praise, something along those lines. And before we get into that, I'd like to just thank our ministers here for the job they are doing. Standing on God's word, preaching the truth, and not letting God lead you and not the world. That's a blessing we have here at Pleasant Hill. I think maybe we take for granted, but I'd like us to encourage our ministers, thank them for what they're doing, and encourage them. Thank Dad for reading the scripture there in Psalms and for his prayer. As we look at the Psalms 113 here, we see it starts with a command. We see it also ends with a command. We see that both are the same command. Praise the Lord. Notice also that this command is not followed by an if. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord if. And we can fill in the blank. It's not followed by an if. The command is praise ye the Lord. So if we are to praise the Lord, we should understand what praise means. So what does praise mean? Webster defines praise as to express a favorable judgment of, to glorify a god or saint, especially by the attribution of perfections. Some synonyms for praise include applaud, cheer, salute, or loud. So as we think about praise here as defined, you know, in the synonyms and what it means, and we look at the commandment here in Psalms 113, what comes to our mind? Or how should this look like in my Christian life? How should I live this out? How do we live this praise ye the Lord out in our Christian life? This evening we're going to look at a few questions concerning praise. First question, Does God desire our praise? You know, as we think about our own lives, we all like to be praised in our work, in our accomplishments, the way we look maybe. We like to hear praise. You know, when someone praises us, they're showing their approval for what we have done. I can't say I've ever heard anyone complain that they don't get enough criticism. We don't like to receive criticism. We like to feel accepted. We like to be praised. You know, as we look at the children of Israel there, the great deliverance that they had out of Egypt, their journey through the wilderness, we see time and time again how they murmured and complained. They even make the comment at one point that it'd be better back in Egypt from the torturing and all the work they had back there. They said it'd be better back in Egypt. You know, God gave them manna from heaven. They wanted meat. It got to the place, actually, where God said, "Stand back, Moses. I'm going to wipe these people out. I'll start a nation out of you." And Moses, you know, interceded for them. And we see God turn from that. I believe God does desire our praise. But along those lines, I think God wants us to want to praise him. Not because we have to. There is a big difference in doing something because we want to or doing something because we have to. The whole attitude there. You know, I'm sure we all have heard the saying, find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Meaning when we enjoy doing something, it's a lot easier to do it than with something we don't enjoy doing. God's commandment should not be grievous to us. It should be a joy for us to serve our master, our creator. Follow our Savior's example. Question number two. Can we ever praise God too much? As we read the first few verses here in Psalms 113, we see phrases like, from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. So we are to be in a spirit of praise every moment of every day. From now till death, and then even after death, we continue to praise our Savior throughout eternity. Praise throughout eternity. So every moment of every day, and here's where our praise ye the Lord gets a little tough. Because anyone can have a spirit of praise when things are going their way. When things are falling into line, we have a good day at work, whatever. You can put in the fill in the blank there. When things are going right, it's easy for us to praise the Lord. But what about when things aren't going so good? What if they're just going plain down bad? What's our response? What's our response when we get a flat tire and smash our knuckles when we're trying to get the lug nuts off? Or we spend all morning shoveling the driveway open and here comes a snow plow. or we lose a loved one. Ray talked about a couple of people he met in Abbottstown. You know, going through hard times. What is our response? Do we fly off the handle? Throw the shovel at the snow plow or whatever? Do we get upset? And we do sometimes. I'm in that boat. I'm not saying that we need to rejoice when bad things happen, but I think that the way that we respond when something bad does happen can either damage our witness for Christ or it can enhance our witness for Christ. Because if we respond in a way that is completely contrary to the way the world would respond and they see it, something's different about this guy. So I think the way we respond to certain situations can really either damage or enhance our witness for Christ. So how do we maintain this attitude of praise through the tough times? Because tough times will come, and I think Dwayne Shield last Sunday evening when he had an opening said something along these lines that if you haven't experienced tough times yet, get ready, they're coming. Scripture backs that up. It's very clear, especially for us as believers. 1 Peter, I'm going to turn back there and read a couple verses. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. 19. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So we see that we're going to experience hard times. When we are followers of Christ, hard times are going to come. One thing about hard times, they tend to draw us closer to God. When we realize that we can do nothing on our own power, we're powerless. Where can we turn? We turn to God. When things are going smoothly, we have a tendency to become less and less dependent on God. It's, I think, our human nature. We feel like, I'm in. I can handle this myself. Things are going all right. It's ironic because God wants to bless us, and he does bless us so often with so many things. Yet in those blessings, we as humans start to feel self-sufficient. And then so God brings something into our lives to let us know that we aren't in control, and to turn us back to him. Verses 4 to 6 here in Psalms. Talk about God. And we see the question, who is like God? I had to think of when Satan rebelled there. And Isaiah talked about, what did he say? And I'm going to turn to Isaiah there real quickly. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And this is the verse that I want to key in on. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. I will be like the Most High. Satan referred to the Most High here, how he was going to be like it, because there was nothing higher. There was nothing higher that he could even refer to. God is, himself is the ultimate. There's nothing higher. Nothing even comes close. So God is supreme, King of kings, Lord of lords. Who is like the Lord? And we see God in all his glory, all his might. And yet, in verse 6 there, it says, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He humbles himself to behold you and me. He has all authority, all power, and yet he humbles himself because he wants to have a relationship, a personal relationship with each one of us. That is an amazing thought. God Almighty, as high and holy as he is, cares about each one of us. He wants a relationship with us. That should cause each one of us to break out in praise to his holy name. In Luke chapter 19, verses 37 to 40, it's the account of the triumphal entry there. Chapter 19, 37 to 40. And when he was come nigh, even now to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Stones would immediately cry out in praise to an almighty God. I heard a song here. I think actually the first time I heard it, Matt was teaching Sunday school and went over it. The song is called The Rock Shall Not Cry Out. I don't know the song, but I'm going to read over it because I think it has a tremendous message. The rock shall not cry out in my place. As long as I have breath to lift my voice, I'll give him praise. As long as I can make a joyful noise, I'll sing and shout and never let the rocks cry out. The rocks shall not cry out, for joy is mine. I will lift my voice. I've got every reason under heaven to rejoice. The God I serve is great, exalted high above the earth. All creation shall declare it, but I've got to praise him first. I'll lift my voice and sing, praise to God, glory to his name. He's so far above our ways, I can't explain. He gave all his love to me, unfailing and unearned. The rocks are going to praise him, but they'll have to wait their turn. The rocks shall not cry out in my place. As long as I have breath to lift my voice, I'll give him praise. As long as I can make a joyful noise, I'll sing and shout and never let the rocks cry out. You know, Almighty God will receive praise. We see it in nature. We see it all around us. Will the rocks have to cry out in our place? I pray not. So can we ever praise God too much? That was the question. And I had to think of another hymn that we sing often, number 47 in the Black Book. And I'm not going to read that. It's familiar to us. The end of the chorus says, I count my blessings bountiful and free, yet I can never count them all, so good is God to me. I don't think we can ever praise God too much. God is so good. Verses 7 and 8 there talk about going from one state to another. He raiseth the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people. You know, when we come through a hard time in our life, it seems like we have a keener sense of God's presence and blessings. Like when a person from a third world country would come to the United States, they would have a better sense of how blessed we are because they remember how it was back where they were, whether they don't have running water or electric or and the many things that we take for granted. They can appreciate that more, I believe, than we that have lived with it all of our lives because they know what it's like to be without it. Also, in verse 9 there, it talks about a change. It talks about a barren woman to a joyful mother. A woman who hasn't experienced the blessing of children, and yet that's what she longs for. No matter how her and her present husband pray, God seems to withhold this blessing. And we have different accounts throughout Scripture about barren women who long to have children. We see Sarah and Abraham there. Sarah was barren until she was 90, couple there. We see Rebecca and Isaac. We see Rachel and Jacob, Elizabeth and Zacharias. So many women there that were barren. And God saw fit to eventually bless these many of these women with children. And we see that the praise coming forth when when God blesses with children. Again, a woman, kind of along the same lines as a person, you know, experiencing from a third world country, a woman that has been barren and then receives the blessing of children, I believe has a keener sense of the blessing of children. Not that we don't love and appreciate our children, but somebody that has gone through being denied that blessing and longing for it, and then God blessing them, I think would be a little more appreciative, maybe, I don't know if that's the right word, of that blessing when they do receive it. God is so good to each of us. You know, it's a blessing just to be able to trust in God. When we think about trusting in God, someone who never changes, is always there for us, it's a different trust than we put in our brethren or our human people around us, I believe, because we trust, it's good to trust, but we know that the human side of will fail sooner or later. Like, my wife can trust me to do whatever. At some point in my life, I probably will fail at some point. When we trust God, we know that He's going to come through. He never changes. He's there, no matter what. What a blessing. We all know the name George Mueller. He started an orphanage there in, I think it was England, in the mid-1800s. And we see he put everything in God's hands. We see God answering many different ways. I think it's a book about it. It's an amazing book to read. One of the stories, Once all 300 children were dressed and ready for school in the orphanage there, one problem, there was nothing to eat for breakfast. George had everyone sit down in the dining room, and there he thanked God for the food that they would receive. George finished praying, there was a knock on the door. Baker down the road. Couldn't sleep the night before. Somehow I knew you guys were going to need some bread. I got up early, baked bread. Here, bring the bread in. Another knock on the door. Milkman's truck broke down right outside the front door. The milk's going to spoil till we can get the truck fixed. Can you use it? So we see God answering in a miraculous way there, feeding the children. All the children were fed that morning for breakfast. But we see George Mueller took that first step and prayed and thanked God for what he would do, because he knew he could trust God that he would fulfill that prayer. How many blessings do we miss out on because we don't put our full trust in God? We hold back. We like to put, maybe not we don't like, but we put God in a box so many times. Like this, I had to think of the Sunday school lesson again this morning. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. How in the world is this going to feed these 5,000 people? No matter which way you cut the fish or slice the bread, it's not going to feed the 5,000 people humanly. And yet we see God feeding 5,000 people and leftovers. He didn't just feed them, he had leftovers. Amazing. So often we like to put God in a box. God blesses us so far above what we often need so often, and yet we turn around and still want more. Many times it seems like the more we have, the less thankful we become. You would think that the more we have, the more thankful we'd be, because the more we have. But it seems like the opposite is true. Many times a person, the more they have, the more they want. Instead of being thankful, if you get more, you want more. May we as Christians, as the children of God, continue to be thankful for what we have, the blessings of God, and praise his holy name. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Dustin, for those reminders that we need to praise God for the many blessings we have. And there's a verse there in Psalm 113 that I never really thought about too much. I read over this chapter before, but verse 5 and 6, "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth?" It's kind of hard to picture God humbling himself. But even God set an example for us to humble himself when we see the greatness that he has made. One of my favorite psalms is 104, and I was thinking of that a little bit tonight. It talks in there about how God created everything, and he supplied everything that was created. In his providence, he made provision for people, for the animals, for everything. And there's a verse there that I like. It's verse 10. He says, "He sendeth the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills." A lot of times when I see a stream, for example, the one down the hill here, I like to maybe find out where the source of that stream is. And that stream, it starts with two different springs that a little bit mile or two west of here. And it's interesting how a spring can start and, you know, turn into a river. The Little Conewaga Creek starts on a farm a little bit east of here with a spring, and it goes down through around the Thomasville Airport and goes down through. I don't know why things like that interest me, but I like to check those things out sometimes. And I thought about, I was in the mountains this past week, and I noticed how wet things are. I mean, the springs are running everywhere. And I thought of those, there's an area in Potter County where there must be a lot of water under the ground, because there's springs come out that form three different rivers. You have the west branch of the Susquehanna. The Allegheny starts there. And the Genesee that flows into the Great Lakes. But all these rivers are going to different places. It's amazing how God has created that. You know, the same source of water, but yet it goes, some goes to the Gulf of Mexico, some goes to, you know, the Great Lakes, and some goes to the bay there in Maryland. But God also sends spiritual springs, you know, throughout the valleys. When Paul and Dwayne went to Ukraine, he sent spiritual springs over there. We have people in Alaska. You know, he sends the springs to Alaska. Different places. God has sent spiritual springs, and we just want to praise his name tonight for doing that. He sent springs into Abbottstown this afternoon. We don't know what might become of that, but, you know, praise God for his goodness and for his love. And I want to thank Brother Dustin for the message tonight. And let's come before, let's stand for a prayer as we...